The parable of the three servants. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even with what little they have, will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth."
Thank you, Aaron. Jesus is teaching often in parables, but sometimes people didn't quite get the meaning of the parable. And just in case they weren't sure about the meaning of this, Jesus continues as we read it in this chapter, and he speaks about the sheep and the goats, continuing at verse 31. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' And the king will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.'" In our service this morning, we're thinking about gifts and talents and abilities. That's why I changed the reading to this passage. What gifts do we have? What gifts do we offer God? Are we letting him down? Are we letting ourselves down if we don't recognize the gifts we have and offer them to God? Using your talent. As we have come to know Sarah and Aaron and Amy a little better this weekend, we realize that they and many other young people in our church, in our families, in our experience, have many gifts and many talents. Talents in music, talents in practical skills, or in sport, or in humor, or in just coming alongside people. We pray that this year, the team on Mission 31, that God will help them discover new talents develop existing talents and use the talents that he has given to them in their future Christian walk as they live by faith and not just by sight. With people they meet, places they'll go, things that they'll do. And even as a team, that the Lord will unite the three of them and their different gifts into a unit to witness for him. In the parable of the talents, which we read in Matthew 25, the man is condemned not because he didn't do a lot. He's condemned because he did nothing. Not because he didn't win a race or come second or even last, but because he didn't even start. And your son or grandson or nephew may not play for Manchester United or even Liverpool or Arsenal. He may not have the talent of a Zinedine Zidane or a Cristiano Ronaldo or an Andy Murray or a Tiger Woods or a Rory McIlroy when it comes to sport. God may not have given him great talent in those ways, but we know that God has given all of us gifts, all of us talents. And when we use talents, and those talents emerge and are cultivated and encouraged, it brings growth in us and in those around us. When we bring our gifts and are willing to use what God has given us to bring glory back to God, then we find blessing. I mentioned some sports people there, and television is full of sport. Don't we know it? Isn't television full of sport? Yes, yes, some people said yes. We are in the middle of the Rugby World Cup. Poor Ireland, they did their best, and well done, Rory Best. We've just had the World Athletics Championships a week or so ago, and we are reminded that the Olympic Games are next year, and that will fill our television screens, not just coming up to the event, but of course the event itself. Here's a story of the Olympics, the Special Olympics. Maybe you've heard it before, but it's worth repetition. A few years ago at the Seattle Special Olympics, 9 contestants, all physically or mentally disabled, assembled at the starting line for the 100-meter race. At the gun, they all started out, not exactly in a dash, not exactly in a sprint, but with relish to run the race and to finish and win. All that is except one little boy who stumbled on the ground, tumbled over a couple of times, and sat and began to cry. The other 8 heard the boy cry. They slowed down and looked back. Then they all turned around and went back, every one of them. One girl with Down syndrome bent down and kissed him and said, "This will make it better." Then all 9 linked arms and walked together to the finishing line. Everyone in the stadium stood and the cheering went on for several minutes, and people who were there still are telling the story. Now, the accuracy of the story may be in doubt. Some have said that the story is mostly true. It's based on truth, that it was 1976 that happened, not at Seattle, but in Spokane in Washington State. Not that all the other runners came back to help, but only 1 or 2. But the story is told to show the courage, the unselfishness, the helpfulness, the contentedness of disabled athletes in those special games, where the motto is, "Let me win, but if I cannot win, let me be brave in the attempt. Let me win, but if I cannot win, let me be brave in the attempt." If you like, it's a story of the proper use of talents. It's a story of the Christian church as it ought to be. It's a story of the witness of the Christian in the world, where at least 1 or 2 Good Samaritans help someone who has fallen. It's a story that gives us a warm glow inside, because we have many talents. We in this church this morning have many talents: to see, to hear, to walk, to speak, to think, to reason, to decide, to plan, and to put those plans into action. We are the 5-talent person in the Bible story. We are the 2-talent person in the Bible story. And maybe it comforts us to think that the 1-talent person is more courageous, more unselfish, more helpful, more contented and happy than we could ever be. And if we think that way, it is unfair to the Special Olympians who train long and hard for their events, who are every bit as committed to trying as any other athlete in any other sport. Let me win, but if I cannot win, let me be brave in the attempt. It's a huge undertaking that Special Olympians take on. Sarah and Aaron and Amy and all the young people and all the children that we know are growing up in a hugely competitive world when being number one is what it's all about. A world where the world often points at them and says, "You're fired." Hannah Shields was given a special reception on Thursday, the 19th of June, back in 2003, for her endeavours just 1 month before the reception. Who is Hannah Shields, you say? And I'm sure you don't remember her name. Well, Hannah Shields was a 37-year-old dentist from Kilray who tried twice on the 22nd of May 2003 to reach the summit of Mount Everest, and in doing that, be the first woman from Ireland to do it. And just 318 feet short of the top. That's three times the length of this church, from the door to the front, to the door to the front. 318 feet short of the top. Having climbed 28,684 feet, she had to give up due to exhaustion, bad weather, and what the frostbite would do to her hands. And being a dentist, her hands, of course, were vital to her work. So near, yet so far. And maybe that's why we don't recall her name. Because that's the sort of world in which we live. If you don't make it to number one, if you don't make it to the top, if you don't make it to success, then you're forgotten. But the parable of the talents overturns that. Because the master commends the servant with the 5 talents for turning it into 10 talents. The master commends the servant with the 2 talents for turning it into 4 talents. The master even says to the servant with 1 talent, "If you had even put it into the bank to make more money through interest. But you did nothing. You did nothing. You simply buried the talent. You were not even willing to use the worth of the talent. So you are worthless." That's what the master is saying. You are worthless. You simply buried your talent. You are worthless. You are condemned. We pray for the team on mission. We pray especially as they have asked us to, that they will work together as a team. We pray that all the young people who we know will build on their talents, will build on the gifts that they have. But let me ask you this question. What are you doing with the talents God has given you? And don't say to me, look, I'm nearly 90. I mean, how can I use the talents? You have a gift for language. You have a gift for conversation. You have a gift for befriending people. You can pick up the telephone and bring comfort to somebody. You're 21, you're very physically active. You could do lots of things in the world. In many ways, the world physically is your oyster. We all have talents. We all have gifts. We all have abilities. And if we're not using them, are we letting God down? Are we letting ourselves down? Do we even care about God's presence or his power or his purpose in our lives? If Jesus is Jesus for us just a name? Or as we said last week, is he Lord? Is he teacher? Is he guide? Is he enabler in our lives to enable us to do things? The world is full of achievers, it seems to us, as we watch our television news. Prince William was 37 on the 21st of June past. He is a young man with many gifts and many talents. He's blessed with good looks and intelligence and physical courage and charm and a winsome personality and ability, it is said, to get alongside people. But he describes himself as a reluctant royal. At least that's what the media tells us. Because of media intrusion into his private life, because his future is mapped out for him, because whereas his pals at St Andrews University or in the RAF could chat excitedly about worlds that they were going to conquer or fortunes they were going to make or even what girls they were going to chase, William knew that he had no prospects except that one day he might be crowned king. Poor fella. And that might be 20 or 30 years away, if it ever happens. And in the meantime, he'd be manipulated by the media. In the meantime, he'd be manipulated by the press and by the media. And that's what this guy with the one talent in the Bible story thought. That's what this guy with the one talent in this Bible story thought. He thought that his one talent was a curse. His master was a manipulative, hard, unbending master, who harvested where he had not sown seed, who gathered where he had not scattered seed. So he hides the talent in case he loses it. He hides the talent in case it gets stolen. He hides the talent in case it gets destroyed. His fear overcomes his opportunity to use it. And he thinks the master will be pleased that he didn't lose the talent. His fear overcomes his opportunity to use it, and he thinks the master will be pleased that he didn't lose it. Now, Prince William seems a great young man, and we pray that he will find guidance and direction from God to use the talents and the great opportunities that he has to do good in an evil world. Prince William knows that the Cristiano Ronaldos and the Zinedine Zidanes and the Andy Murrays and the Tiger Woods and the Rory McIlroys of this world had great ability, great talent in their sport. But that wasn't enough. They had to work at it. They had to train at it. They had to use it and use it and use it and use it and use it in order to become princes of football or tennis or golf. And you and I don't live at Buckingham Palace. But you and I are kings and princes and princesses in God's royal palace. We are sons and daughters of the King when we have faith in Jesus. When we have the living faith in Jesus. When we recognize his lordship in our lives. We are rich beyond compare with the important things in life. When we trust in the Lord Jesus. God has given us gifts to use, and we deny his place in our lives if we don't use them. If we are unwilling to work for him as we walk with him. Walking with him is not enough. We have to work for him, yes. But working for him in the church is not enough unless we walk with him also in faith. That's what the parable of the talents tells me. To be willing, be faithful, to be obedient. Let me finish with an illustration. Robert Robinson was a very clever man. He had many gifts and many talents, and he wrote a number of hymns which are in our hymn book, inspiring words that encouraged and uplifted people. And one of the best is 517 in Hymns and Psalms. Look it up later on. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious measure sung by flaming tongues above. O, the vast, the boundless treasure of my Lord's unchanging love. Here I find my greatest treasure. Hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. O, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, take and seal it from thy courts above. Sadly, during his lifetime, Robert Robinson did wander from the God he loved. He wandered away into the standards of the world, and the inspiration that he gave to many through his hymn writing and through his teaching was lost. He stopped using the gifts that God had given him. And one day he was talking to a lady while traveling, and she told him how this hymn in particular had inspired her, and he kept trying to change the subject because he was embarrassed, but she kept coming back to it about this wonderful hymn and what it had done for her in her life. And eventually he was exasperated and he said, Madam, I am the unfortunate man who wrote those words, yes. But I have wandered far from God. And I would give 1,000 worlds if I had them to get back the faith and the feelings and the gifts that I had then. 1,000 worlds if I had them to get back the faith and the feelings and the gifts that I had then. Are you and I using God's gifts? Are you and I using God's gifts? Let us pray. The words of Charles Wesley's hymn, give me the faith which can remove and sink the mountain to a plain. Give me the childlike praying love which longs to build thy house again. Thy love let at my heart o'erpower and all my simple soul devour. My talents, gifts, and graces, Lord, into thy blessed hands receive. And let me live to preach thy word, and let me to thy glory live. My every sacred moment spend in publishing the sinner's friend. Lord, may these words written so long ago by Charles Wesley be our experience today as we offer our talents and gifts and graces back to you. As we thank you for your wonderful grace to us in bringing us into a new life of faith. As we seek to use the gifts and abilities you've given us to help others find Jesus too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.